Chaz and AJ News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Governor Lamont is quarantining now that a member of his staff has tested positive for coronavirus. We just had him on the show, and that'll be up as a pod pick today, the entire interview. Right now, let's talk to Dr. Stephen Choi, Chief Quality Officer for Yale School of Medicine and Yale New Haven Health System. How worried should we be about this second wave? Hey, Doc.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Morning.
How nervous should we be right now?
We should be pretty nervous. You know, I certainly don't think we need to panic, but, you know, I think we need to have a heightened sense of urgency, both for ourselves as individuals and then, you know, really in any community that you're either working with or related to, we should be exercising a fair bit of caution now.
All right. And second wave. What is your thought on how this is going to play out? When does it start to get better?
Yeah, that's the million or billion dollar question right now. And I think there's some positive things, which are that, you know, looks like the early signals from the phase 3 trials, particularly the most recent one that was announced from Pfizer, looks like the vaccine that they've developed will actually be available in the next month for, you know, initial distribution. And that's very positive. And the early reports from Pfizer and BioNTech, which is their collaborator, shows that what they're saying is it's the vaccine's about 90% effective, which is very, very good news. If you remember, the FDA initially they were just setting a threshold for anything greater than 50% effectiveness. So hearing that it's greater than 90% effective is really positive news for all of us, particularly, you know, us in the medical community.
There's another company, and it was just announced today, that their vaccine is 95% effective. So it looks like we're going to have good vaccines soon.
Yes.
How fast do you think this will get out and be in the general population and things will settle down? Would spring be a good guess?
Gosh, well, you know, it's interesting you ask. You know, we had Dr. Fauci at Yale just a few weeks ago, and when I actually asked him when he thought things would return back to normal, he wasn't very optimistic that it would be anywhere near normal till the end of 21, possibly the beginning of 22. You know, which is a very sobering response, but. Most recently, at one of his press conferences, he was talking about, you know, Q2, Q3, where we could start sort of doing some of the things that, you know, we're used to doing with, you know, family and friends, you know, with other school age children getting together, maybe some organized activities. So it's really a matter of distribution and production. You know, in order for us, you know, even in the U.S., you know, we're going to need hundreds of millions of doses. And, you know, it's going to be hard for these manufacturers to get up to that rate, to that level of production. And then, of course, there's the distribution piece. And a lot of that has to do with communication, too. If you remember the last survey, and there's been a number of surveys where they pulled American adults, and we're still only at about 50% of the population in the U.S. was comfortable receiving the vaccine. So we've got a lot of work to do in terms of informing the general public and you know, our citizens in this country, and then of course, you know, the rest of the world.
Well, let's just say 60% got the vaccine. That would put us in a situation where the hospitals wouldn't be overrun, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure what the magic number is, to be honest with you. But, you know, any level of critical mass of people or proportion of the population that gets an effective vaccine, you know, certainly is as effective as 90 plus. You know, I did not hear that last news release that you just quoted about the 95% effectiveness. But, you know, anything that's greater than 50% of the population being immunized and effectively immunized would really be beneficial to the hospitals in general in terms of being overrun.
Couldn't hurt.
I heard the company's called Moderna or Moderna.
Yeah. Moderna.
All right. You're familiar with them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're one of the four leading phase three trials in the U.S. right now. Those two seem to be that vaccine or that manufacturer and the one that Pfizer and BioNTech are trialing right now. Those seem to be the most promising thus far. But, you know, we got to wait to see what the safety profile is and what the effectiveness is.
Dr. Stephen Choi is on from Yale, and we're talking about the second wave here. What have we learned from the first wave? What works? What doesn't? So if you could give us three things to do, three things not to do, what would they be?
It's really the same thing. It's, you know, wear your mask, keep your distance, and certainly try to limit the number of people or the density of people that you're going to be interacting with. And the opposite of that is a risk. But we've learned quite a bit. You know, we've learned that there are certain therapies that definitely do not work. You know, the most controversial one being hydroxychloroquine, which was, you know, unfortunately politicized a bit. We know that does not work. And in fact, you know, there are circumstances where that could be helpful. But then we know that there are therapies like steroids, which are a couple dollars a vial per dose, are very, very effective. We also know that, you know, trying to limit the number of patients that ultimately go on a ventilator or trying to withhold mechanical ventilation from being too early of an intervention is better. Patients have better outcomes. You know, we've got a couple other drugs like remdesivir, which is an antiviral. We've got a couple of monoclonal antibodies that seem to be effective for a certain group of patients. And so our numbers don't look promising in terms of how many people are getting infected, you know, how quickly the positive test rate has climbed in Connecticut and the U.S., but the patients that do come in the hospital, that their survival and their outcomes are a lot better than what we had last spring.
So, yeah, right. We didn't know what was walking into the emergency room.
Yeah.
Sometimes, right? We lost a friend who went in. They thought he had bronchitis. They sent him home, or pneumonia, rather.
Pneumonia. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he had coronavirus, and by the time they got to it, it was too late. So now when somebody comes in, they test positive, and they have, it's so bad they need to be hospitalized. You're able to take care of that much better than before.
A lot quicker.
Yeah.
But I will say, guys, one of our challenges this time around is that our hospitals are full. And, you know, it was a little bit of a blessing in disguise where, you know, we had our first wave during the, you know, late winter / early spring where, you know, hospitals aren't overrun with, like you said, bronchitis, the flu, you know, the other 200 plus respiratory viruses that can render someone ill enough to come into the hospital. But this is a totally different game now. You know, we're heading into flu season, bronchitis, pneumonia season. So it's going to be a challenge. So we don't have that luxury of going into warm weather, which absolutely seems to help mitigate the transmission of this virus, meaning the virus certainly does not seem to survive as well in the warmer climates and seems to survive better during colder climates, and so we're kind of up against the wall in some ways in terms of the circumstances, both the temperature as well as what else is coming in the hospital that we can manage in addition to what is the second wave. And we're in the second wave. No, make no mistake, we're in it. We've been in it, you know, at least for a month here.
Dr. Choi is on from Yale. You know, it seems to me, look, hindsight, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it seems like you don't really need to be that smart to know, shouldn't we have had the mask thing. It took them so long to say, yeah, wear masks.
Right.
Remember?
Yes.
And I thought, well, they must be just telling us that masks aren't that effective because they don't want the first line people, the front line people, to not have masks.
Right, make it accessible to them.
Right? Does that make sense to you?
Well, yes and no. The perception makes sense. You know, I could certainly understand why the general public was confused. Some may have been skeptical. Some may have lost trust.
But no, but everybody said, you know, the people, the smart people, were saying, "Yeah, we don't know about masks."
Right, not us. Those
right. And I thought they must be saying that because they want the frontline people to have masks.
Right, get them all set up first, and then everybody else gets them.
Yeah. No. We really didn't. We didn't know that. You know, the regular masks helped. And it took us a while to understand. Again, remember, this is, you know, it's called a novel coronavirus because it's new. And we really thought the only masks that were protective were the N95s, which were obviously in a very limited capacity. We had lots and lots of surgical masks. And those are almost as effective as N95s. So now that we have more knowledge, you know, we can promote the wearing of masks. Now we all wear masks. We've been wearing masks for the greater part of this year inside the hospitals. And, you know, there's a reason why hospital and healthcare workers have the lowest rates of prevalence of COVID, because we're constantly wearing masks. And more importantly, everyone else in the hospital is wearing a mask. You know, I walk into my office and, you know, my secretary is wearing a mask. And when I walk out, I put my mask on. And
yeah, we're doing the same thing. It just seems like, you know, what do I know? But it seems like we should have been there earlier.
You're forgetting.
I don't second guess the smart people. But I was reading up on the pandemic 100 years ago.
Right.
And there was this big debate about, should we stop people from drinking out of this public cup at the water fountain? And there was just debate about it. And I think now, like, you look back and you say, well, that seems like a no-brainer.
You would think, yes.
Right?
But 100 years
from now. And I feel like 100 years from now, they're going to look at the mask thing and say, you know,
looking back,
this should have not been such a deal.
Right. Like, why do we have to have a conversation about the mask? How about everyone wear a mask and we'll figure it out after that?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. And the other thing that we're learning that's going to, you know, go into effect here is eye protection. Eye protection is also another layer of mitigation for our healthcare workers. So
again, my experience is from the television show. I watch The Walking Dead, and when the zombies get attacked and there's blood splatter everywhere, spatter, I think, wow, if a little drop gets in your eye, you turn into a zombie.
Right.
It's the same thing with this, no?
I'm wear a space helmet.
Yeah.
And you got to remember, guys, remember back in March, you know, we had a total of 500 test kits for the entire state of Connecticut in March. That's it, 500 for the whole state. Not 500 for Yale or for Hartford Health.
For one block,
It was for the whole state. And now we're doing tens of thousands of tests per day.
Wow.
I mean, it's extraordinary. So you can imagine how difficult it was to not only diagnose, as you said, you know, let's say a patient came in with bronchitis, pneumonia, flu. You had no idea what it was. We had no idea if patients were transmitting it to their family members simply because we had no means to test. And it wasn't really until, you know, late spring, you know, early summer, where our testing capabilities really exponentially increased. And now, you know, there are rapid test kits. You can't drive through any town, particularly up along the coast in Fairfield County, without seeing testing centers, you know, popping up left and right. And a lot of the private doctors have the rapid tests, or they have testing capacity where they can send them out. So we're in a much better place in terms of knowing, having the capacity to test, knowing what the treatments are like, what treatments don't work. Again, the challenge is we're going into this during the colder seasons, the seasons where we have other infections, and the hospitals are pretty full. And that's a concern for us.
Well, Dr. Choi, thanks for making time to come on. We appreciate it. We're glad there's smart people like you handling this for us.
Yeah, and, not us. Yeah.
Just a reminder, we should all wear our masks, keep distant, and limit the contact of people.
Dr.
Stephen Choi, Chief Quality Officer for Yale School of Medicine and Yale New Haven Health System. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys. Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Tell Ethan and Alex we were asking about them.
Please.
I will. You guys are the best.
All right. Thank you.
There you are.